Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to be talking about the Billy Meier case this afternoon. Edward Albert Meier is about 80 years old. He lives in a tiny mountain village in Switzerland called Hinterschmidt-Ruti. About 1945 or so, even a little before, he started to get telepathic messages from a man named Svoth. Svoth was an extraterrestrial human from a race of human beings who called themselves the Plearen. They are in a different space-time configuration than the people of the Earth live. You might call it a different dimension. The Meier material explains that there are seven dimensions in our universe. And in our dimension, people live in on worlds that are usually dozens of light years apart. But in the Plearen system, in the Plearen's dimension, in their time-space configuration, people can live in planets that are relatively close. And that's a fundamental difference between the Plearen's dimension. Dimensions in physics typically are three dimensions of space and one of time. For example, you can have latitude, which is how far you are above the equator, and longitude being how far west or east you are of, I think they call it Greenwich, England, which is the prime meridian. And now we have kind of an X and a Y location so we can find a point. And then the third aspect of that is your altitude. So that's your third dimension of space. Well, there is a fourth dimension of time. And when was this ship, this airplane at this point? Well, there are also something called dimension. And there are time-shifted dimensions, the Meier material talks about. And let's read what Quetzal has to say. The universe, with all its galaxies, is very thinly settled with human forms of life, whereby that also includes dimensions shifted in time and space, respectively. All existing space-time configurations, many planets and moons carry only very lowly microscopic organic life, or only forms of life like mammals, birds, fish, beetles, insects, and so forth, and have nothing to do with higher forms of life. And Patah said that there are relatively few extrasolar planetary systems in the Dern universe's space and time configuration. They are rare indeed when compared to these other space-time configurations. On the other hand, in the dimension where we and all our groups of the Henoch lineage live, numerous solar systems exist that contain planets capable of supporting great varieties of life. Even our earliest ancestor traveled to these dimensions with the shifted space and time configuration in which we now live. And for this reason, we as well as other Henoch lineage groups have been knowledgeable about them since the days of yore. And Billy asked, what do you mean by relatively in regard to the planet-carrying solar systems? Patel says many planets exist in numerous solar systems within the space-time configuration of the Dune universe. That's our universe. If I may say so, however, by comparison to those in our dimension, these systems are extremely spread out. This means that the many planet-bearing solar systems in this galaxy, the Milky Way, are very far apart from each other, while in our dimension, in our galaxy, countless solar systems with planets are close to one another, that is, very densely grouped. And this explanation tells us that in billions of galaxies within the space-time configuration of our Dune universe, DERN universe, there exist many solar systems that also have planetary systems grouped around them, although they are incredibly far apart. For this reason, there may be dozens, hundreds, or even thousands of light years between two planet-bearing systems. The fact that planets exist within a solar system does not necessarily indicate the existence of any life on these worlds. So what Patel and Quetzal are saying here is that in our space-time configuration, there is life, there is human life. In our galaxy, I believe there are 7 million solar systems that contain life. But the planets that contain life on these systems are pretty far away, and compared to their space-time configuration, the space-time configuration that the Plaiaren live in, there are many more populated worlds in that space-time configuration. Now, here in the Milky Way galaxy, in our space-time configuration, there's about 7 million solar systems that support higher life, and I think in an earlier contact report, they said about 2.6 million human civilizations in our Milky Way galaxy that are advanced. But if you would go from one planet to another, to find the next advanced civilization supporting human life, it could be dozens of light years, where in their space-time configuration, these planets would be much, much closer. So let me continue here. It says, for this reason, one need not search for life-bearing planets as though they were needles in a haystack, which is the case in our universe's dimension, where astronomers have been looking for different planets in the solar systems for quite some time. Until recently, their undertakings have been in vain, but this situation changed recently when two Swiss residents discovered for the first time that other suns also have planets. This is in 1995. This is a little bit older information in some ways, but still very, very interesting. And it's interesting how much material there really is with the Meyer case. And I have been talking about certain things having to do with our future. And for example, in 2020, there is a possible collapse of the USA that's discussed in Contact Report 544. And I'm, like I've said before, I'm hoping that we're going to be spared this untimely event. But in 2020, and Billy says here, when I consider that which you already confided to me during my great trip in 1975, that according to your probability calculations, the superpower USA would come to an end after 2020, if nothing in the country changes for the better by then. I'm thinking that things have changed for the better, that we're going to be here beyond 2020, but there have been many things. There is, I still think, very much a possibility of, as Billy has said, 2 civil wars that could come to the United States, and our country could split up into 5 different areas, 5 different regions, which is very, very possible. Which I certainly hope that is not the case, but who knows at this point. I wanted to go back over my terms a little bit. Creation, the German word is Schöpfung, and this is identical to universal consciousness. And the universe has an internal and external body. I've never heard that elaborated on any farther, though. Schöpfung is the German word for creation. The universe that we live in is the material manifestation of the wisdom of this universal consciousness. And the universal consciousness is evolving. It is not immutable. It is changing. It creates universes as a part of its own evolution. It creates human spirit forms, which you could think of as a fragment of the universal intelligence, the universal consciousness. We all have a spirit form, which is called a Geist form in the German. It resides in an area in our brain called the superior colliculus. The superior colliculus controls sight, eye movement, the integration of our senses. And our spirit form lives there. The spirit form has many, many millions of lifetimes. We spend 40 to 60 million years incarnating into physical bodies. And then in the sixth stage of our evolution, we go into a half physical, half spiritual state. And then we eventually move into the first level of the spiritual plane, which is called Arahat Athrasada. And we can spend as much as 2.9 billion years evolving in the spiritual plane before we unite with the universal consciousness. And when we do unite with universal consciousness, our spirit form becomes conscious, truly, truly conscious. Right now we have a spiritual consciousness, but it's not really focused on your decision making. It's not really creative in that sense. It is kind of recording things. What did Semyase say? Semyase said, every human has a spirit form that never sleeps, never dies. It records all your thoughts and impulsations, and it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. So the spirit form, again, resides in the middle of your brain in an area called the superior colliculus. And it remains, the spirit form is the part of us that never dies. It remains after death, but it does leave the body. And it is a minute part piece of creation. It animates our physical body. It causes the heart of the fetus to beat. The spirit comes into the body of the fetus 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. The spirit is no larger than a needle point. Its energy is enormous, and it spreads out evenly like a web over all parts of the body, inside and out. And the spirit energy stays in the body for about 3 hours after death. And at that time, organs can be harvested. You can be a donor of your kidneys, your heart, but it has to be harvested while that residual spirit energy is still in the body. Eventually, nature absorbs this energy in the course of about 3 hours. Semyase had some very interesting things to say about the human spirit form. Semyase was Billy's third contact, and she was about 344 years old in 1975, in contact report 10, a pretty woman with fair skin, sparkling blue eyes. She said the human bears a spirit that does not die nor sleep during the deepest sleep. It records all of our thoughts and motions. It informs the human whether his thoughts are correct or false if he's learn to pay attention. The spirit is also called the bearer of the creative realm. She called it the wonder of all wonders. And she said, Sannyasi said, life is a teaching of the spirit for the spirit. So the purpose of our life is related to the human spirit and related to the evolution of our consciousness. Our spirit has a controlling factor called the Gemut. The Gemut controls the thoughts and the feelings of your spiritual consciousness. The Gemut is the counterpart to something called the psyche. The psyche controls or administers the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. The material consciousness is the actual personality of a human being. It is the only thing that can be creative. Your material consciousness creates drawings, inventions, books, etc., etc., writes music. Your spirit form cannot do that. Your spirit form is not creative. Your material consciousness is the force of the human body in which all functions of decision-making takes place, the thought processes, considerations, all that is in the material consciousness. And part of your material consciousness is your psyche. And your psyche generates your mood. It's the atmosphere. It's your inner attitude. There's another German term in the Meyer teachings that's called the Empfinden. The Empfinden is a factor which exists in the spirit realm. It's a spiritual process of the Gemut. And the Empfinden receives the swinging waves that are purely of a spiritual nature. Your Empfinden produces the fine sensitive feeling. It gives you the ability to perceive the love of creation. This is a purely spiritual process of the Gemut. There is another German word called Erfühlen, which is normal feeling, which is the feeling someone gets when they touch things with their fingertips. And so that's the Empfinden. Now, we are called Wesen, human beings, cows, pigs, dogs, all higher animals, bears, deer. We're Wesen, we have a personality. We have decision making in terms of our evolution. We decide whether or not we are ready for evolution, we want to evolve. We make those kinds of decisions. Now, the Wesenheiten, which is the universal consciousness, stones, water, gases, they particularly stones, gases, and water, I don't think have any free will in the sense of their evolution. It's more of a natural process. The Wesenheiten, the creational universal consciousness, also doesn't have so much of a predetermined possibility of evolution. It kind of functions almost mechanically in the sense of its evolution. It's a step-by-step process. It doesn't really speed its evolution up or slow its evolution down. There's another German term called Gewalt, which is the brutal execution of might and force. Asartung means to get very bad of control of the human nature. And I touched on the swinging wave just briefly. These are electromagnetic waves. They can be built up from electric and magnetic fields. They're not bound to any matter. The one analogy I like to draw from nature is when birds fly in a flock and they move in unison and change directions quickly. There's some kind of unseen force that connects these animals and the way they move. And I've often wondered if that, in fact, was part of the function of the swinging wave. Now, there's a great passage, I think it's in the Goblet of Truth, which says,
rivers, stones, lakes, bushes, trees, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. And these spirit forms are on a journey through time, which involve life and death, and we move into the spirit realm during the death. And this is just a very fascinating passage that kind of talks about how nature works, about the processes of nature. Emmanuel, one of the earlier incarnations of Billy, used to say that the body and the spirit are one, and that the body, the physical, actually comes from the spirit. And if you look at plants, one thing I like to really look at is how quickly plants will spring up, literally, in the spring, in the summer, and grow to tremendous height in a very short time. And if you imagine there's a spirit form associated with that plant, and that spirit form comes out of the spirit realm and into that seed, probably, and then the seed starts to grow. You see, the spirit form is the animating factor in all of the material life. The spirit form, it sends its energy throughout the whole body, whether the spirit form is the spirit form of a bird or a plant or a human being. So there are many different kinds of spirit forms. We as human beings, we have the Geist form that lives in the superior colliculus. And, young Edward Albert Meyer, at a very young age, back in 1941 in May, he crawled out a lower window in his bedroom and he looked up at a beautiful starry sky and he said, "My life is made out of love of creation." Now, creation has what are called creational natural laws. These laws determine how the universe functions. One of the laws that we need to learn to live by is the law of striving and to be continually working to improve ourselves. And striving involves day-to-day chores, cleaning up your house, your garage, pursuing hobbies. You need to use your time for striving all the time, even other than meditation or sleep. You should be striving. And the more you strive, the more sense of life that you'll have, and the greater your happiness. You know, when people fall into degeneracy and they become addicted to video games or watching TV or name it, alcohol, sex, whatever, eventually they lose their sense of life. Because the meaning of life comes from striving. And that's really what your spirit longs for, is working out the problems associated with whatever that particular task is. And as long as you're striving, you'll maintain your sense of purpose and your happiness. Your striving is related to the evolution of your consciousness. Evolving. And Billy has a very ancient spirit form. And when he was a young boy in May in 1941, he's looking up at the beautiful starry sky, which he had done in previous lives. If you look back at the teaching of Emmanuel, Emmanuel taught about looking at the stars and contemplating creation. The same thing is going on here in this young boy in Switzerland. And he's looking at the stars and contemplating this universal consciousness. And he says, "My life is made out of the love of creation." And he said, "Since ancient times, I lived among the stars And suddenly Billy knew who he was, and he knew what his purpose on this earth was. At that time, see, Billy was getting these impulses from the storage banks. Now, one of the aspects of the Meyer material that we sometimes forget is Billy is called the Universal Prophet. And each universe brings forth a Universal Prophet. I shouldn't say really Billy, because Billy is the current incarnation of this ancient spirit form that is the Universal Prophet that materializes again and again as a human being in order to help various humankind speed up their evolution. Now, evolution is a very important concept, and different living beings have different kinds of evolution. And one example of evolution is called the conscious evolution of the consciousness. And this is the kind of evolution that a human being experiences. Every life form is included within the natural creational law of development, of evolution, in spiritual consciousness related and in a material way. However, every life form has its own specific evolution. Evolution is also developing means to develop powers, force, abilities, and skills that you don't have yet. And when you develop these powers, forces, abilities, skills, this is part of evolution. Now, there's something called subconscious passive slumbering skills. And I have not studied this concept in any kind of depth. Maybe something to look forward to in a future show. But evolution is not necessarily guaranteed. You're not guaranteed that you will evolve. You must work at it. And evolution is not the accumulation of chance and chaos. The external storage banks, and it's the laws and recommendations associated with evolution are in the external storage banks of the universe, and they are actually in our memory to a certain degree. Everything is well ordered. There's no in the universe is not chaos. There is evolution. Now, Billy talks about how Darwin's theory of evolution is wrong. And I don't really want to go into that right now. There is also a book that Billy has, which would be great to get an English version of this. I just don't think it exists yet. It's called God Delusion and God Delusion Insanity. And Billy talks and explains to us Earth humans of the present time what creation is and how its laws work. One of the laws of the universe that we must take great care with is called the principle of cause and effect, or causality, to make sure that we correctly understand that. Many scientists will talk about the evolution of nature, and they don't understand it always. But basically, they could be pretty much on the right path. Now, Billy says creationists are totally astray. They've gone totally astray. Everything spiritual, material, all things of existence, that which is spiritual, physical, and consciousness, is integrated into evolution. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the different kinds of evolution. There's something called creation evolution. We talked about that a little bit, that the universal intelligence evolves, the universe evolves. And there's another kind of evolution called the conscious evolution of the consciousness, which is the human life form evolving. Only the human being evolves by conscious evolution of the consciousness. Animals evolve by instinct evolution. There's also an impulse evolution for plants. There's an energy evolution for sands, stones, crystals, gases, liquids. Isn't that interesting that stones and crystals, etc., liquids like water, evolve through this energy evolution? There's a microevolution for bacteria and things like that, and an intelligence evolution related to higher species of animals, like we've talked about before, apes and dolphins and cats and dogs and so forth. So, some interesting ideas on evolution. Now, so there are some common misconceptions about evolution. One of which is power struggles and lust for power is characteristic of the human life form in its course of evolution. Which is not true. Here is something that is true. Each universe brings forth a universal prophet who is repeatedly materializing again as a human being in order to help with the various kinds of speeding up of evolution. That's pretty much a normal course of events. So anyway, I just wanted to cover evolution there briefly. That was a very kind of interesting tangent. Probably one of the most well-known prior lives of Edward Albert Myers is an individual named Nocodemian, who was said to be a creation of a planet called Sadar in this other galaxy called the Lyran Galaxy, which is about 3,800,000,000 light years from our solar system. And this was, I believe, close to 8 or 9 billion years ago when the first incarnated personality of the beam spirit form came into existence. Now, this was about 9.6 billion years ago. Another part of the Nocodemian lineage is someone called Henoch, who was born about 8 billion years ago. There were other Henochs that lived as well. There are two Semyases that were also born. There's one of them that's part of the Nocodemian lineage and another one that isn't. I don't know the distinction at this point. Semyasa 1, notice that's different than Semyasi. Semyasa was a male. He was born about 389,000 years ago during the time when the Lyrians were here. And Semyasa fathered the first Adam. There were actually two Adams, both fathered by two Semyasas in different time periods. Relatively short time ago was Semyasa II, who is sometimes referred to as a demigod. And this man was here during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. He was a scientist who worked under Eris the Barbarian. And he was said to have fathered the second Adam about 13,000 years ago. And there were two time periods associated with Atlantis and Lemuria. Of course, this information is rather convoluted. I shouldn't say that. It's complicated. There's a lot of information here, and it takes time to really to sort it all out and understand it. Typically with Billy, they refer to the seven prophets: Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. I talked about Emmanuel earlier. According to the Meyer material, the person that we call Jesus today was never called Jesus. During the time of his life, he was called Emmanuel. Now, frankly, I had a hard time believing this until about 2 years ago. And people that listen to this show or have listened to this show for the past couple of years will know when I first started doing research on this, I stumbled over a very fascinating thing that still astonishes me to this day. There was no letter J in the ancient world. The letter J was invented by an Italian playwright and scholar named Gian Giorgio Torricino. Wasn't invented until about 1550. And at that point, Torricino started substituting in certain words the letter I or Y for the letter J. The first true version, the 1611 version of the Bible, there was no Jesus. They called him our Lord and Savior, I-E-S-V-S. And they didn't use the name John and James either, because there was no James and John in the ancient world. They had very difficult names to pronounce. That's maybe why they ended up changing some of these names. The book of Job originally was the book of Iob. So for whatever reason, they started calling Emmanuel Jesus at some point. Now, if you look into this in depth, there is a school of thought that says he was originally called Iesus. I-E-S-U-S. There's another school of thought that says he was called Jesus. And there's still another school of thought that says he was called Yeshua, which is related to the Hebrew. But if you look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says clearly his name will be called Emmanuel. Same thing in Isaiah chapter 7, 14. Now, today, Christianity says, oh, no, that's not his name. That's just a title. And I was so indoctrinated and not even realizing it. For many years, I just set this whole part of the Meyer information aside. And I really didn't know what to do with it. It didn't seem logical to me until I ran into this. It was like a bell that just made it all fall into place. So it's really difficult for us to appreciate the level of confusion and misunderstanding that is regarded as fact now. We'll have to see how this all plays out as time goes on, and we'll have to pay special attention to. I think as time goes on, we're going to start to learn more and more that the Meyer material is correct. Now, another thing, the prophet that we call Enoch was really called Henoch at the time of his life. And there were multiple prophets with the name Henoch that lived in different time periods that are part of this lineage that they call the Nicodemian lineage. Eliah or Elijah is also one of the incarnations of Billy. I shouldn't say Billy. I should say his spirit form. It was a previous personality. So when you look at a personality, a current person alive, they had previous personalities in earlier times. One of the previous personalities for the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer was this prophet who was born about 891 BC. And he was known the lover of creation, sometimes called the Ishwish is my teacher. His disciple was named Elias, and he's mentioned in the Talmud of Emmanuel. In Contact 229, it says that Eliah, or this incarnation of Billy, of the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer, was flown to Srinagar, Kashmir, India in a beam ship in 1842 BC. And there are predictions associated with the prophet Elijah. And they're talked about in Contact Report 230. Maybe I'll read just a few of these predictions of Elijah. Quetzal is talking here, and he says, "Certainly, I have made every endeavor to bring something along with me. However, it is not a prophecy, but a prediction that leads back to the prophet Elijah and refers mainly to you. To make it understandable, I had also to rewrite his old style of writing into the German language of today. So listen then with what he had to say." Now, this is Elijah talking about Billy in the future. And it says, "As herald of this world, I see and hear and know what will happen in the very distant future. It will be centuries, it will be in centuries when the herald of the new time will raise his voice and teach the world and cause great turmoil. And thus his life will be threatened. I see and hear and know because my eyes and ears are open. And see and hear in heaven what will be happening in the very distant days to come. Like taking a gigantic step, I traverse with my eyes and ears the days to a distant time, to a free country, and to a place which is still unknown to you, and which you are not yet able to see. There will be the most courageous of all courageous ones, the most holy of all holy ones, and he will teach powerfully and proclaim the laws and the commandments of creation. He will have knowledge of the script like I, and will be able to listen to heaven. And he will be the eye, the ear, and the conscience of the human beings. And he will let human beings see the power of the creation and let them hear creation's laws. He will be seeing, and he will be a seeing and a knowing one, and a mediator whose hands write down the words of those who will come from the stars. He will be the third one to follow me, and will be a continuation in the living again of these prophets who were born before me as other personalities of me. His word will reveal the hidden structure of the world as well as many secrets of creation, and he will fill the gaps of memory that lead from one point into of the past or of the present into the future. Thus, he will show the map on where happenings design the new time, which are caused through the human beings." This is the prophet Elijah looking, I think, three personalities ahead to the time of the Meyer information, which is coming out now. It says here, "The new herald will have to endure much hardship. His father will be a simple shoemaker, and his mother a simple woman, who will give birth to three sons and four daughters. One of the sons will be called the guardian of the treasure." That is Edward Albert Meyer, and he will be the new herald. "The knowledge about the laws of creation will lay open to him as never before to a herald, and he will be the one who brings to light again the true teaching and true words of the old heralds, and will make them accessible to human beings." One of the things that Svath taught Billy when he brought Billy onto his silvery pear-shaped spacecraft in Bulak, Switzerland, when Billy was about 5 years old, is he told him about his previous personalities, that he had been the people that we call Enoch, Elijah, which is also known as Eliah. And Eliah is the correct way to pronounce Elijah. In any case, this is part of the Nicodemian lineage. Another of these prophets was known as, we call Isaiah. He was born in 772 BC. The person called Jeremiah, that we call Jeremiah, was born in 662 BC. And then, one of the other incarnations of the Meyer spirit form was Socrates, born in 469 BC. Aristotle was the next, born in 384 BC. And then we have Emmanuel, who the Meyer material says his teaching was greatly distorted and recorded in what we call the New Testament today. The next incarnation of the Edward Albert Meyer was Muhammad, who was called the Praised One. And I believe he was born in 571 A.D. And the Meyer material on Muhammad is kind of interesting. Muhammad was said to be born February 19th, 571 C.E. and died in 632 of the Common Era. He was one of the prophets of the Nicodemian line. And the Figu group says he is credited as creating the Islamic religious cult, which was designed to restrain all other existing cults. The Islamic cult was designed to restrain the cult of Christianity. The Meyer material calls Christianity a cult. And it explains and says that Christianity would have caused the total destruction of mankind if it was left unchecked. This is very, very fascinating. And the Meyer information, I know this is controversial, says that not all of Islam are terrorists. And I think this is probably an important thing to follow. I'll read just a little bit from this article. That Islamic terrorists do not represent Islam, just as terrorists of other faiths do not represent other religions. Billy's writing here, evidently. As a human being born Edward Albert Meyer, named Billy Beam, and also known as Sheikh Muhammad Abdullah and so forth, I had certainly already from childhood gained a good insight into Christianity, as well as into Islam, and into the other religions as well, as into many of their sects, whereby I have, however, assumed and maintained a completely neutral position over my entire life for myself and my thoughts, feelings, and views, as well as opinions. Fundamentally, according to Islam, I am a religious non-believer, and from the perspective of Christianity, a heretic and atheist. This is very interesting because Billy talks about the universal consciousness, but he says that it's not God. There is no God in the way the religions teach. And again, he says, according to the religions, that he's a lost candidate for hell and so forth. And Billy says he has not succumbed to the God delusion, which is hammered in an indoctrinating manner into the believers through the false teachings of religions and all their sects. For these above-mentioned reasons, I am also able, in a neutral way, you know, Billy is always talking about being neutral, to correctly judge things which are actually or seemingly associated with belief, religion, and sectarianism. This is the case, for example, in regard to Islamic terrorism, whereby that Islamist Islamism has no relationship whatsoever with actual Islam. It is based instead on a wrongly steered and completely degenerated fanaticism. So the Islamic terrorist is a wrongly steered, completely degenerated fanatic. Unfortunately, it is the case that wherever terrorist attacks occur, those are immediately associated with Islam, as they also are with other religions. However, and indeed, depending on which religion the terrorists belong to in each instance. So, you know, I've read many articles where people that have Qurans, I don't have a Quran, I'd like to have a Quran, quote verses in the Quran which says things like, kill the unbelievers wherever you find them. So, evidently, generic Islam does not follow those particular commandments or words in the Quran. And I guess that's what Billy's saying here. You know, we'll have to, again, wait and see and learn more as time goes on. Let me read again a little bit about Islamic terrorism. Islamic terrorism, as an unparalleled degeneration existing outside the teaching of the Quran and of Islam, consequently, it may not be taken as a measure for judging the image of Islam and of the faithful Muslims. But if that is done, then what corresponds is a mistake, which only generates evil and hate, whereby the wheel of hate turns even further, and all terror actions occurring all over the world are automatically and directly associated with Islam and Muslims in general. And this also happens when terrorist actions are caused in different ways and are carried out by Christians, Hindus, and Jews, and so forth. So, this is Billy's one of Billy's writings. And he calls himself, in this writing, Billy Beam Muhammad Abdullah. So, take that for what it's worth. We've been looking at the Nicodemian lineage, or the line of the Meyer spirit form. And we've talked about Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, and Edward Albert Meyer. And there were others, again, born in that line that we've talked about, such as Aristotle, such as Semyasa 1 and Semyasa 2. Mendelssohn was also part of the line of Nicodemian, as was Mozart. So, there's much to learn in the Meyer case in any way you look at it. Another interesting and strange topic in the Meyer case, and another one that if you have a religious background is going to curl your hair when I start to talk about it a little bit, especially the way it's defined in the Meyer case. The number 666. So, I'm going to read a bit about this. Let me start here. Now, as one explained to me once, we're talking about numbers. I'm going to have to skip part of this. For example, it is well known to me that the name falsely ascribed to Emmanuel was Jesus Christ must yield the addition number 18 in both words. Well, according to Cairo's calculations, however, the value 18 arises for Jesus, and the number 24 represents Christ. I've also noticed such errors in other assessments. In the case of the effective number for the name Jesus Christ, this individual named Chero comes to the threefold value 888, although this would have to be the effective number of 666, as this would also have to be the case for the designations for Pope, Church, and God. So, I guess the Meyer information is saying 666 really is the number for the Pope, for the Church, and for the name Jesus Christ, which is pretty over the top from the Christian point of view. But not a complete surprise if you've talked about the Meyer material or studied the Meyer material. We're running a little close on time, and I was going to get into Hitler again and how Hitler was influenced by the Giza intelligences and how Hitler was not meant and not initially going to be a negative influence. The Giza intelligences we've talked about before. The Giza intelligences are another fascinating topic that's certainly worth looking at. There's also, and I touched on this maybe a week or two ago, information about a blue race of people on the Earth. And they're in some way related to the Hyperboreans in some case. Let me read a little bit here what Billy's asking Patah about the Aghart, what's called Agharta. And Patah says, to my knowledge, humanity of Earth still lives in error regarding the name Agharta. In general, it's still erroneously called Agharti. You forget that I was in India, Billy says, and in the Himalayas for a long time. And Billy actually encountered some of these blue human races. I'll skip forward a little bit. Patah says, however, this much may be said: in the vicinity of Shigatse in Shampula is the underground realm of Agharta. Boy, this would be good to do a whole show on, wouldn't it? The capital and center of the distant descendants of extraterrestrials on Earth. And that's one of the big things here, is we've had extraterrestrial humans on the Earth hundreds of thousands of years ago. They had ships. They built great structures like the pyramids. There were wars. There were catastrophes. Entire civilizations got wiped out. Some of these people escaped. Some of them didn't. Some of them became reincarnated on the Earth. Millions of older spirit forms exist on the Earth, like these people from Agharta. Some of them are still in their groups, and the Hyperboreans, for example, in Mount Shasta. I don't know. I think they may have left the Earth, but up until 1995, they were still here. In any case, boy, something very interesting to study for next time, Agharta. And you're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. Hopefully we'll be back on tomorrow to talk a little bit more about the Meyer material. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you in the future. See you tomorrow. I'm hoping 3 p.m. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.